to the park one day, and maybe he's already shared this story, but for those of you who hadn't heard it, he's up preaching, you know, and one guy got really hot under the collar. He got pretty, you know, mad, and Billy was trying to talk to him, you know, trying to just, you know, pull him away so he wouldn't cause a big scene and everything. And the guy was just vehement. You're just full of hate. Every message you preach is hate, hate, hate. Just hate coming out of your earlobes. And Billy's like, no, it's just, you know, that's not us at all. You got the wrong idea. We don't preach that message. No, no, no. And they were going back and forth, you know. And the guy says, let's listen to this guy right here. Just listen. See if it's not hate. See if I'm not right. And Billy, no, let's just talk here, you know, trying to pull him away a little bit. And finally, the guy convinces Billy. Imagine that, if you will, you know. This guy was tough, you know. And so he finally convinces Billy to listen. But okay, fine, let's listen. And right at that instant, Randy's over there preaching. And he says, God is a God of love. He loves you. Yeah. And Billy just looking, seeing the guy's like, no. Hate. It was, you know, you think of the millions of things he could have been saying at that time. And so we really felt that it was of the Lord, and God really blessed, and we've got some contacts, and they're still coming, and we're still going. And I just want to say publicly that it was a real shot in the arm to us, and we really appreciated it. And I don't know, maybe we'll do it in the future again. It was a lot of fun, and the gospel was preached, and it was just a neat experience. I'd like to just share a couple of verses with you tonight. And when you come to a missionary conference, you know, 21 years, you think we'd get it down by now. You think that we really, you know, wouldn't have to be resharpened, but you know us, and we know ourselves, and we do. And you think that all the messages in the world about missions could be preached, you know, and they probably have, and especially after this morning. I mean, the brotherly love and re-signing the commitment. I'm like, oh, I'm scrambling for a new message. Yeah, he preached every one of them that there was. So anyways, you think that we would get some of this stuff down. And you'll be challenged if you come this week. You'll be challenged by the Word of God and by the preaching of the Word. But there's a danger in all this preaching. It's good to come and rekindle some friendships. And it's good to come and see some people you haven't seen in a long time. And it's good to come and get pumped up, you know. But there's a danger in this somewhat. And I'd like for you to look at Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tonight, for these two verses that I'd like to share with you. Whatever you consider this week, whatever message touches your heart, whether it be a message about lost people, you know, there's 6 billion people in the world and most of them are lost. And God may use some message somewhere down this in time to touch your heart like He never has before about the lost. He may touch your heart about getting to know some of your own home missionaries, you know? Some of you may not know these guys very well, or maybe I know him pretty well. Maybe he's going to touch your heart to get to know them better than you ever have before, and to the point where you become that prayer person for them. You know, prayer warrior, that's almost a term I really don't know anything about, you know. But to really get to get burdened for these people that are out there, you know, and because it's tough being out there. And maybe God will choose a message to touch your heart, and you'll be challenged with that question: what does He want me to do? Whatever you consider. Whatever message, song, or testimony touches your heart, I'd like for you to be concerned about two things tonight. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 2. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 4. You know, God has been talking about the children of Israel in chapter 3. And it's not a very good message about the people of Israel that He's talking about. He comes down, he winds up, kind of summarizes the whole chapter 3, and he says that they could not enter this land of promise because of unbelief. And he starts off, he's talking about 2.5 million people here. I mean, this is, I don't know if that's not a picture of the church, and I don't know what is, you know, Israel going through the wilderness, being led of God, you know, and strangers and pilgrims in a dry land, you know, and God is leading them, and they come up to the land of Canaan, and they couldn't believe God. They just couldn't understand that what He had promised He was able to give, and, you know, they'd already failed in that one temptation, said, could God provide a table in the wilderness, and he's been putting up with them and putting up with them, and they come to the Jordan there, and they send out the spies as if God's testimony wasn't good enough. And even when they got the physical stuff back from the land, they said they still couldn't go in. And God gets really mad at them. And I think that's a lot of Christians. God has led you through life and met every need that you ever had. And then he comes up with this challenge. Look, what about this issue? What about this issue of missions and your role in it? And we act a lot of times just like the children of Israel. We say, I don't know, Lord. And he says, this people couldn't enter that land of rest, that land of promise, because of unbelief. And I think that's that whole, this is the sin of this book that God is talking about. When he gets over to chapter 12, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin, what sin that does so easily beset us? I think it's the sin of unbelief. And so he comes down there in chapter 4, verse 1, he talks about fearing. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, look at verse 2. This is a warning. This is a red flag to us. And it says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached, and that's what's going to happen this week.
Amen.
The word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith. You know, it's just not good enough to come in and hear a good sermon. It's good.
Yeah.
It's fun. It makes your socks roll up and down, you know, and you're like, and you know, once or twice in our life, we may be like David, well, it was good that they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord, you know, because these great sermons are just popping out all over the place, you know, but that's not enough. God doesn't just give you a message to tickle your ears and to tingle your inner self, whatever you want to call it, you know. He says, listen, I'm going to give you this message about lost people, about missionaries, about you for a particular reason. And your job, and you do have a job, your responsibility, and you do have responsibility before God, is to mix it.
Amen.
Mix it. And I think so many people fall short of that. They never, what would they say in the 90s? They never internalize it, you know. They never personalize, you know. You gotta be hip nowadays, you know. I mean, you can use that word at work. You can use it in the church too, you know. But they just never, they never cross the Jordan, so to speak. They just never get like, you've seen, right, people, men and women in the kitchens that are mixing eggs in a cake batter or mixing whatever, you know. I've seen guys mixing things. Dennis has probably sent people in the chemistry lab over there mixing things up, you know. And we've heard sermons about mixing things up. Well, these messages this week, God is giving us a warning saying you need to mix it.
Amen.
With faith.
Amen.
Otherwise, you're going to end up just like Israel.
Yeah.
I'm going to end up just like Israel. Never really making it over into that land of victory, that land of promise, that land of rest. And so that was the first flag as I began to think about missions and what does God want me to share and what is God trying to tell me? He says, Dan, he said, you've been listening to messages for 21 years. What are you going to do?
Amen.
I think of all the messages that we've heard, and I wonder how many of them gone by the wayside because there was no mixing. There was no faith. Now the second verse I want to share with you is over in chapter 11. Classic chapter, right? A great chapter, right? I mean, everybody knows, oh, the faith chapter, yeah. Well, I wish we knew more about it rather than just that, you know. But you say, why talk about faith? Because in verse 6, it says, it gives us this all-encompassing statement. You know, we talk about, it's dangerous to throw out blanket statements. God throws out a blanket statement, and he says, without faith, it is, that's a pretty strong word, impossible not to serve the Lord. Not to do what he told you to do, but to please him.
Amen.
You know, we want to leave this missionary conference in several different ways. You know, we would like to say, I'm submitted to the will of God. The church is submitted to the will of God. It was a blessing. The missionaries were encouraged. And it looks like, boy, we've all got a deeper burden, you know. But I think one of those goals, if you will, would be like God was pleased.
Amen.
And the only way to do it is to mix. The only way to do it is by faith. That's a tough one because it says in verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, kind of vague, right? Kind of difficult concept to get a hold of sometimes. But I think God is very clear in this chapter what he means by that. And I kind of wanted to leave that with you tonight. What does he mean, mixing by faith? How can I please the Lord? Yeah, I know it's by faith, but what can I do? It's kind of a nuts and bolts kind of chapter. It's a rubber meets the road type thing. And I'd like to just run through a couple of examples that God gives us here. The first one being in verse 7. He says, you know, by faith, he said it was a man named Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet moved with fear, prepared enough to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know what faith is sometimes? It's moving by fear.
That's right.
God gives a message and sometimes it just scares us. That promise, that verse over there in Hebrews chapter 4, it said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, any should come short of it. I'm afraid that sometimes I've missed some of the blessings of God because I wasn't able to embrace the promises of God. Somehow I culturalized them, you know. I go, it didn't apply to me, you know. Certainly God couldn't be showing me this blessing, this promise over here. Somehow it just doesn't fit, you know. And so I've missed it because of unbelief. But not Noah. God gave him this bizarre message and put it in the context of Noah. You know, he's out in the middle of this dry land, you know, and it's never rained before. We've heard all those things about how the days of Noah were, you know, and how the mist came up from the ground and watered it, you know. And so he tells this story. Oh, I'm going to build a boat. They knew what boats were. He built this boat. He knew what they were. They had the proper place over by the ocean, you know, but it just never rained in his area. And so began, I'm going to build this boat, you know, and I'm sure people poke fun at him and say, you're a lunatic, you know, and you go check out with a psychiatrist and stuff and see your therapist 3 times a week and you'll be okay, you know. And we've heard all that stuff, you know, but I think what really moved him was fear. God showed him some judgments to come.
Amen.
What about for the Christian? Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I think Paul is giving us a snapshot, if you will, of the judgment seat of Christ. Not the great white throne judgment, but the judgment seat of Christ where we're going to stand up there and the fiery eyes of Jesus, as is inscribed in Revelation chapter 1, is going to burn away all of our stuff that we've longed after and poured our lives into. And he says it's just nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. And Paul was saying, look, I'm afraid that I've invested my life in things that just don't count. Noah was moved with fear.
Amen.
What did he do? Well, he did what any responsible Christian husband would do. He built this edifice, this thing, to the saving of his household. Men, we need to save our household. It's not the church's job. It's not the wife's job. It's our job. And Noah was the one that did that. Noah was the one that got the instructions and got his kids so that when he said, go into the ark, God says, all of his family came in. And it wasn't like Lot that when he began to testify to his son-in-law, it says that he seemed as unto them one that mocked. Noah made it. Lot didn't.
Amen.
And when was the last time you were moved? Not by this glorious, you know, pie in the sky message, this really, but with fear. Being afraid that the promise of God is slipping away.
Amen.
Being afraid that you're gonna be found short of what God expected you to do or told you to do. And you say, well, I'm afraid. I remember one time this thing happened at work and there was this phone thing, this bill I had to turn in. It was this big, huge mix up, you know, and this one guy got canned. I mean, they just went up and grabbed him out of the room and took him out. And I had been with that guy. Here in San Antonio, we'd flown down for this class, you know, and I was shaking, man. I was like, oh, I got on the phone and I went and saw AVPs and executive director. I'm like, look, I'm trying to be as upfront as possible, but I had never been so afraid because I was like, hey, I don't, you know, didn't want to get fired. Didn't want to, I worried about my family and the testimony. And then, and so here's this preacher gets fired for cheating on his phone bill, you know, I was just shaking. I couldn't sleep that night. I was like up all night praying. Oh, Lord, you know, what's going to happen? How is it? And it worked out. But I was afraid. That was 4 or 5 years ago now, but boy, I remember the pain, the hurt, the pressure. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I was moved with fear. And so should we be with God.
Amen.
And this idea of missions and the loss. And am I doing, really doing what God told me to do? There's another guy, Abraham in verse 8. He says, by faith Abraham, when he was called out, into a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. You know, Hollywood made a big deal out of this. What was that movie? McGuire, Jerry Maguire, and the guy's in there, show me the money, Abraham, show me the land, right? Because he said that he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So he's wandering around, and it says that he really didn't know where he was going. Now, God called him into a country, but he didn't have this specific place where he was going to, he didn't say like, here, sit right here. And so he's wandering around this land, and he says, everywhere you put your foot down, you're going to receive this for an inheritance. And so Abraham, how did he exercise that faith? How did it work its way out into his life? Obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Chihuahua. Obedience. You know, faith and obedience, I think they go together. By faith, Abraham obeyed. I don't know what God's going to tell you to do. I have no idea. I don't know what He's going to remind you of what He's already told you to do. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And the way that you can please Him is by obedience. It's not a real hard concept to get a hold of. Anybody with kids can handle that, right? You tell your kids, do what I tell you to do, you know? If you want to sit down and discuss it, we'll discuss it later on. But first, tell, do, and then we can talk. Act, and then we'll converse later on. And we have all kinds of reasons for that. You know, I remember Cheryl one day, you always tell your kids when they're riding bicycles, always look both ways before you cross the street, you know? And then you tell them, like, look, if I say stop, you stop, you know? And sure enough, she almost got hit by a car one day up there, but in front of her house, you know? And it just happened in a split second, you know? And had I been there and yelled, stop, I wonder if she would have been obedient. And I think God wonders the same thing sometimes. By faith, that which pleases God, Abraham obeyed. And think of the blessing that came upon Abraham. I mean, think what a God, a friend of God. Wouldn't you like to be known like that?
Amen.
Someone that is called the father of the faithful. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise. Isn't that a cool statement? Isn't that a statement that we can kind of fit into the Christian life?
Amen.
Has not God given us promises?
Amen.
Yes, He has. The question is, by faith, are you sojourning? Are you living there? I don't know, San Antonio, I don't know if it's a land of promise or not. It's pretty tough right now for me to believe that. You know, I'm like, hey, where'd you guys put all the cool weather, man? I'm dying down here. But I, every day, just walking around, regardless of the circumstances,
Amen.
Right? Regardless of my pocketbook and the vehicle that I drive and my promotion status or whatever like that at work, you know. Hey, we can live by faith, pleasing God in a land of promise. I mean, that's exciting to me. I'm just, when I think about that, I think about some of the things that happened to us over the years and, it's an exciting life. It's not this drudgery that, That's not it. That's not the Christian life. Well, sometimes it's weeping. Sometimes it's carrying some pretty heavy burdens. But other times, how's he describe it? Joy unspeakable, full of glory.
Amen.
Well, I have to watch my time. Verse 32. And what shall I say more? What should I more say for time would fail me? He goes on to say, hey, we got any Gideons out here? Any Samsons? Japheths? Baraks? Hoseas, what does God want you to do this week? Anybody out there that says, I'll wander in sheepskins. I'll live in a cave. Others will say, I'll see dead raised to life. All these people are people of faith. And it's interesting that the chapter begins and ends with this same idea. It says, by faith they all obtained a good report. All of them. What you perceive those to be as successful, good report of faith. All those that we kind of cringe away from, back off from, say, oh man, it's kind of tough. Good report of faith.
Amen.
I thought that it was interesting. There's no real difference in God's eyes. What He's looking for is you receiving that preaching and mixing it in there and then working it out in your life in that way that He has called you to do, whether through fear of building something for Him, whether it be going somewhere, not really knowing where you're going, but going for Him and with Him. It's slaying some giant somewhere. It's, how's he put it? Rock righteousness. It's going through a fire.
Amen.
It's being in bonds and imprisonment. Whatever it is, it's you, by faith, walking in what God requires you to do. When Jesus walked on the earth, There was a couple times when he talks about faith, and you remember the time when the centurion soldier came up to him and he says, you know, the story has in my daughter is about the sick, she's at the point of death, you know. And he says, you know, just speak the word, Lord, and she'll be made well, and he uses that analogy, you know. Jesus had never heard that from any person on earth. And he says, I have not found so great a faith. No, not even in Israel. I mean, the people that were supposed to be knowing all about God and how God operates, he says, not in Israel. I couldn't find it anywhere, but in him, I found it. I like to be found like that. Of course, then there's the stormy sea incident where Jesus, you know, is down there asleep on the boat, you know, and they wake up, Lord, we're going to perish, don't you care, you know, and he comes, jumps up there and he rebukes the sea and the storm and all that, and he says, where? Where's your faith? There's another one where, remember the lady with the issue of blood? He doesn't really mention, he doesn't say the word faith. Yes, he does. He says, thy faith hath made thee whole. My next door neighbor's wife ran out on him about a year ago, and she said she wanted to find herself. And I asked her, I said, what if you don't like yourself? What if you don't like what you find? You know? Look around, you know, I mean, look in the mirror. We may not like what we see too much very often, you know, but it's like, hey, that's not the problem. The problem is she needs to be made whole.
Amen.
Complete. Filled up. And faith can do that for us. Walking in whatever capacity God calls you to walk in. And those were the verses I wanted to share with you.
Amen.
The church up in Colorado Springs is not a real successful place as far as some measurements or standards are concerned. But we've seen some blessings because I think at times we've maybe been a little bit faithful. Couple people that come there pretty regularly, Judy and Steve. Steve got saved this last several months. And so that was pretty cool to see that happen, you know. He's terminally ill and we're asking God to heal him. But just a couple of months ago, I remember him saying that, I'll never step one step inside that church. Well, now he comes pretty regularly. Never say never, you know. Don't push God. You know, he may make you do what you don't want to. I don't want to go to Afghanistan. Nope. But God has just given a few blessings. And we praise the Lord for that. And I just wanted to share with you these verses. Again, you're going to hear a lot of good sermons. You're going to be challenged with some sharp questions, some questions that are very much intended to probe into your heart and mind and say, what are you doing? Young person, old person, what are you up to? I remember I had an old bumper sticker on my truck. What are you doing for heaven's sake? You know, we throw that out as a flippant, you know, hey, long time no see. But what are you doing for Jesus? Mix what you hear with faith.
Amen.
If you don't, you'll not please God.
Amen. 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 Amen.